A new study is out from the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire about the prevalence of Lyme's disease-carrying ticks in Wisconsin.
According to the new study, 35% of adult female ticks in Wisconsin had the bacterium, and some counties had an even higher prevalence, with about two-thirds of adult female ticks infected. Here with us to discuss these findings is Lloyd Turtenen. He's a professor of microbiology at UW-Eau Claire and leader of the study. Lloyd, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So a little over a third of female ticks carrying the Lyme bacterium in this study. Is that more than we might have expected?
It's pretty typical to findings from earlier years. Down at University of Wisconsin-Madison, I know Susan Plaskovich has found similar numbers. To me, being sort of new to this area, I was a little surprised that so many did carry the bacterium.
And then some counties had about twice as much prevalence of the Lyme bacterium. Where did we see the worst instances of finding Lyme in these ticks?
Well, in our study, the county that had the highest prevalence rate was Chippewa. But I have to caution you that we didn't look at as many ticks there as we did in some of the other counties. Most of the ticks came from Down County or Eau Claire County. But Chippewa did have the highest prevalence rate at 66%.
Now, Wisconsin has been looked at as one of the hot spots for Lyme disease around the country. It always seems when I look at a map, there's New England and then us. How do the numbers you're looking at there, are we still a standout in this unfortunate category?
I think the prevalence rates are probably quite similar to the New England areas. In part, it's due to the vegetation. You know, wherever you have new growth or fragmented forest, you're going to have deer, you're going to have small rodents like mice, and that tends to attract more of the infected ticks.
Now, I'm interested in a little bit of the hands-on of this study. How does one go about intentionally collecting ticks and then testing them?
Well, the way that it's usually done is you take a material like flannel, light-colored, and you attach it to some sort of stick or rod, and then you just start sweeping the tall grass and the bushes, and ticks will attach to it, and then you can periodically look to see if you've picked up any ticks. Or you can just walk through the brush with your pants and look to see if ticks have come off. But if you're going after the small ones, the nymphs, the tiny ones, it's really quite tedious, and you have to look very carefully to see if any have attached to the material.
And you looked at female ticks. Are they the ones that carry the Lyme bacterium?
The female ticks are the ones that primarily transmit it. Now, the male ticks can also have the bacterium, but they tend not to transmit it. Because remembering that the females need to take that blood meal to develop her eggs. So we only looked at the female ticks because those were the largest, easier to find. We did not look for the small ones like the nymphs.
And over what period did you hunt for these ticks? How long a span are we talking about?
This was done every spring, usually end of April to the middle of May, around there, when I had my students in my class go out and collect ticks.
Don't you get worried about getting Lyme disease as you're out going and intentionally out for looking for ticks?
Well, I guess we all should worry about it, and I still worry about it, sure. And I have picked ticks off me. Every year I pick ticks off of me, including this past year.
So it's fall. Excuse me. Hunting season is coming up in Wisconsin. In my head, my wishful thinking is that as we get the first frost, we don't have to worry about ticks anymore. Am I fooling myself there?
Well, I'm not really sure how to answer that. Ticks will stop feeding in the fall, probably due to a combination of decreasing day length, and temperature. So I don't know if it's the temperature or more the day length that stops them from feeding. So at some point, they will stop feeding.
Now, are ticks spreading this bacterium from one tick to another, or are they all going to the same sources that they pick up the Lyme bacterium from?
You know, that's a really good question. I think what you're referring to is transalvarial transmission, in that can a tick that's infected transmit it to her eggs? The studies that I have read, and I'm not an expert in this area, seem to indicate that may be a minor way of spreading the bacterium. So rather, it's probably the tick feeding on the rodents the mice and the deer that are picking this up and passing it around.
Now, you mentioned you've picked many ticks off of yourself, and I hope you're doing it the right way. Is there a right and a wrong way to take these ticks off once they've fixed themselves onto us?
The main thing is you want to get all of the tick out, especially the mouth parts. If you leave the mouth parts in, it's possible that it still could be transmitting the bacterium. In my experience, when I've had an adult female, I haven't found it soon enough, and it has burrowed in so deeply that I've actually had to go to the emergency room to get it taken out piece by piece. With the nymphs, you want to get a really tiny forceps, very sharp, tiny forceps, and pull it out all at once. Obviously, I think other people have different ways of doing it. Again, I'm not a physician. I'm not sure what the best way to do it is.
And how do you do the tick check? Again, a lot of people are going to be out in the woods starting maybe this weekend. How do you look over to make sure you aren't carrying a tick with you?
Well, when my kids were young, we sort of did it as a family thing. You know, we looked at each other's back and back of the legs where they often will be hiding. We would look in the hair and things like that. So it helps to have another person helping you do this.
A buddy system.
Yes, it's difficult to do it yourself.
Well, taking the numbers you found, the prevalence, does this change the way we think about Lyme disease in Wisconsin, or does this just kind of confirm some of what we already suspected?
Well, I think it may reawaken some people as to the danger of this. Obviously, there are some people who are pretty bad off after having been infected with Lyme. And I think we really need to, rethink about how we deal with this and just, to understand the prevalence, I think, is very important, just to make people aware that this is a potentially really big problem.
And what's your next step in the research? Are you going to keep doing this spring check-in? And what other kind of research might you want to do?
Well, as research takes money, we do plan on doing another spring. I'll have the class go out and collect as many ticks as they can. And then if the money is available, we will go ahead and take a look at those. I think one of the things I would like to do is to get involved with other scientists who can... We can sort of correlate some of the deer density data, some of the vegetation data, and also some of the mice density data to identify perhaps areas where Lyme disease might be more prevalent because of all those factors coming together.
All right, Lloyd, thanks so much for sharing your research with us today.
You're welcome.
That was Lloyd Turtenen. He's professor of microbiology at UW-Eau Claire, lead researcher on a new study of Lyme bacteria prevalence in ticks throughout Wisconsin.